what it means to follow Jesus. Whole focus all year. What does it truly mean for you and me to follow Jesus? Here's what it means, just one part of it. It means that in Jesus Christ, we have the only constant in our life. Have you noticed even the ones you're married to, their personality may be different from day to day. And as we get older, have you noticed from hour to hour, and the older we get, we may be into the minute to minute. See what I mean? Have you noticed also that when a human being speaks about loving, a human being says, I'll always be there for you. Have you noticed there's somewhere in there, there's a but. But if you go off into the world, then I don't want you coming back. Well, your pastor wants everybody to come back. Did I ever go off into the world? Do you realize that in your life and in my life, because of that constant as a Christian, throughout our whole life, we find ourselves battling against life, meaning the old ways, the old faces, the old ideas. As a pastor whom I have never met, but have great respect for, said to his congregation, I want you to know that you're going to die. That sounds like my kind of man, doesn't it? You're going to die. The question is, do you want to take the church with you? Do you want the church to die when you die? Looking throughout our nation, yes, there are plenty of dedicated Christians. Yes. But many of the dedicated Christians have decided to sort of take a seat. I don't see that in Scripture. The only place to where I am to truly take a seat, take a knee, is in the presence of God. God has called us to action. Well, I don't know what I can do. Start with your family. Start with yourself. Start including the love and the hurt that is breaking up the family. Start including that in your prayer time. Well, can God take care of it because it's such a mess? Well, I got news for you, folks. Every one of us in here are a mess. There is none closer to God. None. Christian, when you say you're a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ, you're as close to God as any preacher, me or anybody else, will ever be. You're as close to God as you're going to get. That's a blessing. That's what it means to follow Jesus. I have in my life as a Christian, you have in your life as a Christian, a constant, never changing. And with that constant, never-changing spirit of Jesus Christ, you and I see the hope, the power. To see it and not utilize it is sin. To look at it and not recognize it is sin. To talk about being a Christian and living the Christian life, refusing to do so because we're afraid we may offend somebody, that's sin. But you don't understand, Brother Larry. Yes, I do. Why are churches having to go to full security? I mean, I don't even have to ask that to you, do I? Do you know that the insurance companies are getting to the point if you don't have security in your church, we're not going to insure it? That's the way I remember the day down in the country. The church doors were never locked. You try leaving a church doors open in this generation, and Webster will lose every electronic piece of equipment that he has up there. It's the real world. And God said, I want to train you to live in the real world. The sermon is not gloom and doom. The sermon, the message from God, is everlasting, unchanging hope. Because I have a constant in my life. And it's not a human being living, walking on earth today. But it is one who conquered the human existence, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, who is walking into our heart. And God says, preach the truth. And as Rome would say, even the high priest Caiaphas, even as Jesus was walking before Pontius Pilate. Remember what Pilate's wife said to Pilate? Have nothing to do badly against this man, for I had a dream. The warning was loud and clear. And Pilate, though he attempted to wash his hands, he washed his hands in bloody water. For he could have said no, but he chose to say, crucify him. That way, the crowds would come to him and they would cheer him. And if the church of Almighty God ends up being silent on the truth, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, no other name under heaven by which a person can be saved. When we back away from that truth, we back away from God. Where's the power in the church? Who are we giving the power to? Would it not be Satan himself? When we won't tell the truth about salvation, because I don't want to seem arrogant or hurt anyone's feelings. Every Sunday I tell you, the boat's not just listing on one side or the other. The boat is about to totally capsize. Warnings everywhere. Pay attention. God says, I will warn you of the evil to come. Pay attention. For in his warnings, he gives hope. And in that hope is Jesus Christ. There's a name for the hope in my life, in the life of every Christian. His name is Jesus. But now you know, Brother Larry, times have changed. People have changed. Politics changes. Individuals change their mind on a daily basis. But the only constant in my life is the Word of God. And the Word is Jesus. And the truth is Jesus. And His Word He gives to us in the book called the Bible. And we say, yes, but there are many other ways. Are we going to continue, as James said, that we are wishy-washy? That's a paraphrase. That every tide that comes in, every wave, when it moves back out, we go chasing a different one? There's only one. I don't have to chase, nor does anyone else. Do you want something in your life that's constant? I tell young parents all the time, your children must have a place that's constant, must have a place to where they can go knowing that they're protected. When they come in from school and they see the front door of their home and they walk through that front door, they can lean against that door and say, phew, I'm safe now. The home must be focused on safety, not only for the physical qualities of the family member, but for the mental, for the emotional, for the spiritual. There must be a constant. And you can't do that from jumping to woman or man to man. Set your heart to Christ, follow Him. And when we get in the ditch, go back to Him. For each of us will fall and falter. The focus is not that we don't sin. The focus is you and I have a constant. We may not be constant in our thinking. We may waver back and forth. Parents, did you ever have your teenager talk you into letting them go somewhere? You never let me do anything. I never get to do anything. I'm going to have to go in there and I'm going to have to take my beats and just lock them in a drawer, I guess, because I don't have anything. That $15,000 worth of equipment in my room, Mom, never thought about that. That's not where the strength is. The strength is in the love, the heartbeat of that mama and daddy, and knowing when you go home, it's not any electronics that's going to protect you. It is Christ, the only constant. I was 17 years old when I joined the Marine Corps. Smart aleck. Some things don't ever change. Smart aleck, and didn't want to listen to anybody. I learned at Paris Island that I would listen. And I even learned at the end of 3 months that I would pay attention. Then what happened? War. And then you come home, and what happens? War. War in the family. Breakdown of society. That which is evil is called good. That which is good is called evil. Can anybody in our listening audience, we're in 130-some countries, here locally, can you tell me one thing about Christianity that degrades anyone? It's the most inclusive faith there is. Whosoever will, let him come. Pay attention to religions, and then pay attention to the relationship with Jesus Christ, which is Christianity. But here's one thing you can't do. If someone offends me or really comes after me to do harm, you cannot say, I forgive that individual. See, you have no authority to forgive someone for what they've done to someone else. You got it? Only the individual that's been affected by the evil that has been done, only that individual has the authority to forgive the other. As a Christian, do it this way. Forgive, but trust takes a long time before you'll ever trust again. Malachi 3:6, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. So God decided to make an oath. Now you got to hear me on this one. See, when you make an oath, I solemnly swear, your hand on the Bible or your hand before God, that means that an oath is taken focused on something or someone greater than we are. There's no one greater than God. So the oath that God gave was in giving His word. Now listen to it. God's oath equals our hope. Without the oath of God, the promise of God, the command of God, we would have no hope. But because, listen to Hebrews 6:17, 18. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose. You see the unchanging there? Unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, We are the heirs of that promise. He confirmed it with an oath, or thus saith the Lord thy God. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Are you going to have ups and downs in life? Is it going to seem like you're ready to sink? Do you feel like you've already sunk? Do you feel like you're so broken there's no hope? Well, folks, the only constant in the Christian's life, frankly, the only constant the world would ever be able to see, is Jesus Christ. I, the Lord, do not change. That's as constant as it gets. God cannot lie. Therefore, whosoever believes in my Son will have eternal life. That's the hope. But listen to it. God's oath gives us the hope. Also, our trust. The trust that God gives us through the hope that is in us, that trust is God's sustaining power. See, I can't do anything on my own, and you can't either. God's sustaining power is constant. So through the hope that I receive through Jesus Christ, I understand that when I trust Him, that sustaining power that He has freely given us is activated. See, the sustaining power of Jesus in your life, Jesus never deactivates. We're too used to pulling the plug on things because I just don't want to deal with it. I'll let the next generation deal with it. Well, my generation did that, and you see the mess that we're in. I told Joey a while ago when I heard his grandchild say, "Papa." And I looked back there and I said, "Joey, makes you feel good when you hear that, doesn't it?" He got that grin on his face. Why? Because we know that our youth, our children, those under our protective wings, they need us to show them the hope through Jesus. They need the mamas and the daddies and the grandpas and grams throughout the world to get activated. Because you see, if Christ's trust that He gave us is deactivated, then our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are going to see it. I trust in God's sustaining power. Listen to King David, Psalm 55, 22 and 23. Cast your cares on the Lord. Oh, preacher, you know, I hear that my whole life. And I've got troubles all the time. Did you ever cast your cares on the Lord? No, I know that stuff don't work. Well, stuff doesn't work. The promise of God always works. He's unchanging. When God loved me, when I first accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that love for me that God has is not dependent on whether I have bad cases of the stupids or not. It's dependent on His love for me, not my human love for Him. I don't know how to love deep like God does. So what do? I trust Him to express that love. I don't know how to do it. But one thing I know, Jesus is constant. Psalm 55, 22, 23, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. Do you see any question marks there? Count it as being done. He will sustain you. He will never, listen to it, let the righteous fall. He will never let the righteous fall. Now look back in your life, as I have to do all the time. Every time I'd fall into the ditch of life, up to 5 minutes ago, 1 minute ago, 1 second ago. Because you and I are battling. Inside of us is a part that wants to go back to the old ways. You know, go back before we felt the touch of the Master's hand. Temptation can only come to you through the old nature. Satan cannot tempt the new nature. It's not temptation of the new. As a Christian, we get in trouble. It's the temptation of the old nature. What we used to do. We enjoyed doing things wrong, badly, poorly, ungodly. Oh, it was fun until payday came. God says to every action, there's a reaction. Every time that you or I act up, we're going to run flat into that wall and knock ourselves out. The only time, remember, that God will make a hole before you get there is when He's the one who tells you to start running. Then the trust is, because it's God's duty to make sure there's a hole time you get there. But we go against Him, thanking. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men, men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. Did you get that? David said, Lord, I'm a big mess. You call me to be king and I messed that up. I've murdered. I've committed adultery. I've committed rape. David had so much guilt on him, it was pathetic. So much guilt in his heart. And finally, he says, I trust in you. Because kings usually saw themselves as God. David actually never did from the beginning. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. And then you read what he did and you would say, I can't see how. Well, look at your own life. Look at our own life. I still don't understand why God loves me so much. That constant in our life, our belief. Now listen to it. God gave an oath. He said, trust me on this. And then he said, you believe. And you have eternal life. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The coming of Jesus Christ was not based on condemnation. The coming of Jesus was based on his love for us. Because you see, we can't keep rules and regulations. You ever notice that? And for those who tell me, no, I do. I keep these rules. I want to get behind them one day when they're on the new parkway out here and make sure that they really do keep. But think about the heart, our heart. Because when our heart is not at peace, God is offering us that peace. God sees the heart. He sees the hurt. He sees the pain. Not only that, you talk about empathy. Not only does he see the pain, he already felt it for us. And it was so horrendous, he never wanted you or me to have to deal with it. People who are being tortured. The hope I will give to their family is this. That Christian undergoing what you're seeing, that individual Christian is in the protective arms of Jesus. What you see is against the physical body. The Lord says, I love you. What the world calls death, we should call the supper time bell going off. What the world sees as evil, the love of Christ, oh, that's evil. Well, you people are worshiping a cross. You know, I'm proud of that cross. I'm as proud as I can be because my Savior hung on that cross for all the mess-ups that I still get myself into. As you're reading Scripture, you will see something that will really, really mess your mind up. I'm not going to tell you what book it's in, because I can't remember. But what I will tell you is this. You will see where the Scripture says, and God winked at the sin. What does that mean? I'll have to get a sermon on that now to let you know. But you see, when Jesus walks into our heart, he said, I'm the only constant you'll ever have. And when you walk away from listening to your heart, listening to the voice of Christ, you've walked away from the only constant that Christ has promised you. He said, I will never leave, nor will I ever forsake you. That's not our problem. What's the problem? It's man-created. Man-created the problem. Because we decided we knew better than God. Not working out too good for us, is it? It's not a denomination. But I don't care what the denomination is. I care about Christian, the Christian family. Because you see, the hope for all of us is still in who Jesus is. I don't care what name you want to put out here or anywhere else. I am a Christian, meaning I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ just like any other Christian. Therefore, I am to be a part of the body of church, this church right now. I will be the pastor. I am to be the leader. Therefore, I need to fulfill what God calls me to do. But I cannot do it without the rest of the body. He has called each and every one of us to a special ministry. Do we not realize, folks, the honor it is to be a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Jesus knows my name. Let's pray. Father, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as you look within our heart, Father, we ask for that power that only you can give. Thank you, Father, for being the constant. You never change. Thank you, Father, when you said your love will never cease, that you've offered that love to us and we receive it as your Christians. We ask now, Father, that you give us the courage, the holy boldness to proclaim your truth no matter the consequences of the world. Help us to be a blessing to others. It is your peace, Father, that each of us understand that will change the world. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.